Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92 with George Pratt, his partner, and brother Billy too. They crossed the Yukon River and found the Bonanza Gold below that old white mountain just a little southeast of Nome. Sam crossed the majestic mountain.
Okay. Feed that out a little bit and see if you can hear me. This is Ken, yours truly, the host of the Dixon Janes podcast, back at you one more time. Now, I don't know how this is going to go because I tried yesterday and it was a disaster. Just too many things going on, and not only was it technically a huge problem, but my head was, oh my God. The worst of the worst. It was just an explosion of connections and things I wanted to share all at once. So today, I made some notes, and I'm hoping I can have a reasonable, I was going to call it conversation. It's not really a conversation, but, you know, give you something that you might enjoy. Might say, hey, the dude's back. That's great, you know. But we'll see. So first of all, before I go any further, I'm going to see if I can continue recording while I look at some notes, okay? So if suddenly I disappear and come back, well, you know what happened. So where are my notes? My notes, my notes. My notes are here. And my notes begin with Sylvain. Sylvain Grandmaison. What a grand name that is. Sylvain Grandmaison. My buddy, my friend, my connection to the early days of podcasting, and a man who I had the pleasure of visiting in his new hometown, Richelieu, where my parents met and are from, Richelieu-Chambly area. And so I had a little tour. I even visited the church that my parents would have attended. But anyway, all that's history. But Sylvain did something quite wonderful. When I was visiting on that trip, he took a photo using an old Leica, a Leica lens, and it came out to be quite a nice photo. And he sent me a handmade print, a print that involved dodging and burning. And if you know photography beyond digital snapshots, you'll understand. He's talking a photographer's language here, and made an absolutely lovely print and sent it to me. And I wrote back and I said, you know, at my funeral service, however that may be, or a commemoration, or what do you call it, a wake, whatever, I want that photo shown. It was kind of a weird thing, but I knew right away when I saw the picture, that's me. It was me looking calm. Happy, what would I have been? I would have been, was it 2 years ago now? 75 or so. Wearing my Beatles hat. And that was the topper because it just captured, yeah, that's who I am. I'm a Beatles guy. And, it looks like we're still podcasting. I mean, still recording. It ain't a podcast yet. I'm going to have to figure all that out. Anyway, so if you're hearing this, you're hearing my voice, you can give a thanks to Sylvain Grandmaison. And I hope to see him again this year in 2026, maybe on one of my journeys. I will make a point. So, all right, that was top of the list, who to thank and why I'm doing this. You know what I think I'm going to do? Oh, we've only been going not even five minutes. Oh, my God. I got my McDonald's coffee with me. All right, I'm going to go on health. Now, health is a topic that old people talk about, and it's the most boring fucking topic because everybody has their problems, but it has been an issue with me because I broke my leg last September 22nd, 23rd, and there was a period of recovery when I couldn't walk. My God, I had to abandon my road trek in Nova Scotia and fly back and get my wife's help to get back up on my feet again. Now that I'm on my feet again, actually able to climb stairs and use my walker and get out teaching, which is all recent news. That's only within the past month. My knee, the one that was the same leg that, you know, my left leg, broken leg, drop foot, for which I wear a brace, and knee replacement 5 years ago. Well, that knee replacement is looking pretty damn ugly and swollen and twisted and really out of shape. Now, good news, I'll be seeing the surgeon who replaced that knee on January 30th. That's very soon. It's the 11th today, I believe, in the year 2026. And that's the same doctor who replaced the knee and who is sort of looking after my recovery of the broken leg, because they're thinking, you break your leg, you could really fuck up that knee. And it looks like I may have. I don't know, but I'll find out soon. But anyway, everything else, my God, I'm in a happy place. I'm calm, although I don't know, you know, as calm as Ken is ever going to be, which is not very calm, but cool, collected. Content. Very, very, very. I look for, at the end of the night, I look forward to getting up the next day for that first cup of coffee and just a slow start to the day. You know, my whirl and quirl and connections and mini puzzle and crosswords and just, you know, a nice easy start to the day. No stress of going off to work or anything else. Hang on. A sip of my $1 McDonald's coffee. It's not bad. It's not bad. And anyway, so there's where I'm at. I mean, I'm in a very positive headspace. The body, a little shaky right now, and I'll find out very soon whether I have done damage by sort of getting back up on my feet too soon or need a further surgery or whatever. But anyway, that's where I'm at. Otherwise, I am the picture of fucking health at the age of 77. Isn't it 77? Yeah, going on 78 this year. And there you go. So, all right, done. Check. Next topic. I can hear stuff in the background. Oh, yeah. It's down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We look down the river and we seen the devil come. And there must have been 100 of them beating on the drums. Didn't say a thing. We held those guns and the British kept it coming. It wasn't as many as it was a while ago. We fired once more and they began a running down to Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. All right. Thank you, Johnny Orton. My mother hated that song, of course, the Bloody British. Why are they singing the Bloody British? Which gets me to Foyle's War. Ooh, yeah, I'm going to jump around here. Foyle's War. Boy, oh boy. For whatever reason, I had that set to record. It's PBS is running it uninterrupted. The episodes are about 2 hours long. There's only two or three episodes a season. I'm up to season six now. By God, is it ever good. And I just, on this podcast, I used to like to share things that really, really turn me on. They do something to me. And it's been many. Remember, we taught 6 Feet Under. We talked about just lots of different really good quality television, cinema, shows, and especially these sort of long format stories where you know the characters. And this one, the backdrop, of course, is World War II, and it sort of takes you through right after post-war, and it deals with real issues, like what's it like to come back and be unemployed after you had a meaning for 4 years, you survived the war, you come back, everything's changed, there's rationing, life just seems tough. And the mental breakdowns, the wounded, you know, the missing limbs, trying to reconnect with the wife who maybe has run off with the milkman. Oh my God. But any number of things that keep it interesting. So boy, I cannot recommend strongly enough, if you ever get a chance to find, I don't know who runs it, how you'll find it. I know I'm just getting them connected or recorded. Foyle's War, for quality television shows. Now, of course, I can relate to that, British heritage and so on, and I'm interested in a history of I guess a little bit of a history buff, certainly interested in World War II. And, of course, again, it all roots back to my father's oath to secrecy and us never quite finding out what he did. So anything that's to do with the Second World War, and especially with regards to espionage and the Germans and so on, not as much the Eastern Front, which is, a taboo subject around our house. But World War II, boy. So that moves on to, shall we jump ahead? Yeah, Norman Stone, A Short World War II History. No one writes history quite like he does. All right. Books from the library. I've started going back to the library, trying to get rid of my books, not buy new ones, and starting to use the library. And so, of course, after getting turned on to Foyle's War, I had to get up one more book. And it's pretty gutsy to try and do a condensed version of World War II up to, how many pages here? 250, 220 pages or so. Very interesting. And the other book from the library, we're on to the topic. We've changed topics now. We've gone from television, Foyle's War, highly recommended, on to reading material, what I'm reading anyway, because this is an update of where I'm at. And this book, one day, everyone will have always been against this. And that is by El Akkad. I can't remember. I can't see the first name. The author of The American War. And I, with a title like that, I could not resist it. God, I got to read that. Omar El Akkad. Egyptian roots and so on. But talking basically about what Israel has done to the Palestinians and what's going on in Gaza and how the news doesn't really seem to cover it as thoroughly as it should, and it's a little bit ambiguous, and well, they did that to the Jews and so on. But this is really saying, hey, this is the extermination of race. This is genocide, and you're not speaking up. And I hope, history will come and wake people up the same way people need to be woken up to what's happening in America today. And I guess it's tied in with that, America letting Israel go ahead and do, because maybe it serves their purpose some other way. But shall we try not to get too much into politics? I guess it's unavoidable. I've already sort of stepped on that landmine. It is, it's beyond belief almost what has happened to the U.S. of A. under this group of people who have power and who are using and abusing that power to a point where you wonder, will it ever, ever get back to normal? Was there ever a normal in the United States anyway? Is this just, are we just seeing the reality with the sort of the mask torn off and it was always this way? Think back to Vietnam and all of American history. It's all about fucking war. God damn it, man. Anyway. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go back to my notes quickly. Let's see. Whoop, passcode. And I hope I haven't stopped recording. Let's just see. Are we still recording? Where is the voice memo? Yeah, it looks like it. So what we want is to find out change of subject, right? History of rock and roll. So we're back onto audio now. We're covering how do you entertain yourself in these dark days? And what I do, as I listen to podcasts, here, I'll give the names of them. Americast. It's put out, I guess, by BBC or an affiliation of the BBC. A British take on what's happening in American politics. It's put out every couple of days at least. It's interesting cast of characters, engaging a little bit of banter between them. But, explores things that you kind of need to know. And, of course, it's biased in towards my way of looking at the world and how things are. Worth checking out if you're looking for something new and you're listening, want to have a little bit of the news, to keep up to date, just to hear what's going on. Of course, I still listen to the political Gab Fest every week. I never miss that. But this one, Americast, from the British point of view, and then the other one called The Daily Blast. I thought it was The Daily Beast. It's The Daily Blast. And it's quite good. And again, it's clearly in my corner in terms of their view of what's happening under the Trump regime. But very, very, very clear. And just they bring on some brilliant people to talk with authority about stuff that they know something about. So very, very well researched and well done and current. So those two things. Now, when you want to get away from this, I say, dude, I got enough of this shit already. It's in my face every single fucking day. I need a break. Ah, you need a break. Here you go. And I've mentioned this before. A History of Rock and Roll Music in 500 Songs. I'll repeat. A History of Rock and Roll Music in 500 Songs. I should know the name of the Brit who does that show because he repeats it every single day, every time. I'm only up to episode 129 of the 500, 500 songs. It doesn't mean 500 episodes, but pretty close to that. I started at episode 1, and I've gone through the whole history of black music in America and jazz and blues and the backdrop and the history. And my God, this is so deep and deeply researched with so much information you have never heard of. Boy, more than you ever want to know. But no, that's not really the case, because I want to know this stuff. I want to go deep. And right now, I've just finished an episode called Mr. Tambourine Man. Of course, that's the Byrds, but Dylan's song. And by God, what I learned about that song that I didn't know, and he just gets in-depth to every person in the band and who they were connected with before and who the producer and how this chance meeting with this and how Crosby didn't get along with anybody else in the band because he was a spoiled rich kid. And it just, wow. It is so rich in content, in information, in stories. Cannot say enough about that song. And then, having just finished that, I went bingo right on to the next one, episode 129, Satisfaction, The Stones. And my God, taking me back to 1964. Hey, I was alive in 1964, boys and girls. 1964, what was I, 16? Okay, 19. All right, 1968, I was 20, so take off 4. 16-year-old, ripe for the Rolling Stones, all that stuff that was coming out, the Beatles, of course, everything else, and a very, very interesting. So I'm saying, treat yourself. Don't have to start at number one like I did. You know, I'll never get through this. Go to either episode 128 for the song Mr. Tambourine Man, or 129 for Satisfaction, and listen in. Okay, so moving on. Books. I think I already did the books, the history books. Yeah, done those two. Foil's War, done that. ChatGPT. Okay, listen, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop now for fear of this recording, and I'm going to come right back, okay? I'm halfway through my list. I'm going to stop and come back just in case. Here we go. Yeah, 18 minutes, 19 minutes. Oh, it's about what I normally do. Why the fuck don't I just keep going? Let's just keep going. Two more things. Father Sons was the bracket. I drive my son. No, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop because I'm afraid of losing this. I'm going to stop because I got more to say. I got more to say. So hang on. I will be right back. Okay?
I was as innocent as I could be. I didn't know Lil was big as much to be. He took out his knife and he gave it a throw. When it's springtime in Alaska, I'll be 6 feet below.
When it's springtime in Alaska, you'll be 6 feet below.
Okay. Are we back, Jack? I think we are. This is, I don't know, maybe half an hour since I recorded that previous clip. And boy, I've covered a lot of ground in my head. been busy playing. So I just want to finish off the notes I made. One of the notes was Father's Sons. And it was just a reminder to me, to you, that I'm still learning from both my sons. Kenji is visiting, I guess, this month, later on this month. He'll be here for his birthday. And he gets around, you know, he's visiting Montreal first, got friends there, then Ottawa, got friends, my family, his aunt, who he's close to, and others. And then Toronto, and then flying back to Vancouver, his hometown. And then number two, son, Daniel, who I drive to catch his bus every day. That continues. And it's something that I'm very glad that while I was away and while I was recovering and couldn't get out, Nalco was doing double duty. She was driving him, then coming back, then leaving, getting ready for work and leaving and so on. So when I was able to start driving him again, because I could do it without walking, you know, that was a turning point. It was good. And I really enjoy it. It's a 10-minute drive to the bus stop and a 10-minute drive picking me up at the end of the day. And it's a chance for conversation. Very often it's arguing, like very, very different viewpoints, especially when it comes to, oh my God, politics. But that is how it should be. You know, it's just the nature. Your offspring are not supposed to be identical clones, you know. They're supposed to be different, have their own thoughts and opinions and way of looking at life. And, of course, I've often mentioned the world that Daniel and Kenji have grown up into is so remotely unlike. How about just completely different from the world... The world that I've grown up in. Boy, oh boy, did I grow up in a blessed time. You've heard that before, but I just cannot. I mean, that's just fundamental. It's basic to who I am and why I have the outlook I do. And only now is my world outlook beginning to really, really, it's been shaken up by recent political events. But anyway, so we have these conversations. And I can still be open. All right, okay, I disagree with that. And I'll push back and he'll push back and so on. And accusing me of, you know, I accuse him of just listening to one bias reporting and he does the same to me and so on. But anyway, in the middle of a conversation, we got onto ChatGPT. And I have just had a mind block. I had not used it. I just refused. And to me, I just associated with students cheating, doing all the work for them. They'll never learn English. They'll just look things up. People can write perfect reports. You don't have to think anymore. It does the thinking for you. And I have had nothing but negativity towards it until I tried it. And it was at his encouragement. Dad, and I'm saying, I don't need it. You know, I can do things, use DuckDuckGo and look things up the old way and, you know, cross-reference, and I find what I need. But yesterday, while watching Foyle's War, circling back, they talked about Operation Tiger or something, and it was a part of the story. And I thought, well, they wouldn't put this in unless it really happened. It was about the loss of over 400 sailors, American sailors, in a preparation in the south of England, landing on the beaches in Devon in preparation for D-Day. And through a series of miscommunications and ill preparation and soldiers not having life preservers on or on properly and communication channels that were missed between the British and the Americans, somehow the word got out. The German E-boats heard about the exercise, found out, and slaughtered them, mowed down hundreds of sailors. And it was kept quiet until 1975. That's the part that amazed me. It's in this story. So I've got to find out, hey, did this really happen? So where do I go? I go to ChatGPT. And boy, oh boy, did it give me the information I needed. Yeah, whoa, this really happened exactly the way they were telling it in Foyle's War. And people were traumatized by what they had seen. And the fact that they had to sit on it. And those soldiers were sort of unaccounted for until survivors started talking about it after the Official Secrecy Act was over. So of course that's going to be of interest to me. But it was such a rich find by using that tool. And I went on to use it for, God, something else. What was it I also used it for? Other things. It works. Today, maybe you'll hear a little bit at the end of this. I'm looking for, I'm jumping around here, but okay, let's just put a period behind that one. I am now using open-mindedly ChatGPT. I do worry a little about the bias and the control that the information we know can be false and so on, and you want to double check before it's authoritative and so on. But anyway, it's a rich tool. Wow. And I looked up other things that I needed to know, and it gave me amazing, amazing results. So, for example, I'm always looking for material for my students. I'm back to teaching, and that's going to be my last topic. We'll get back to that. But anyway, I find songs, Canadian singers, because I'm focusing only Canadian content. Okay, I'm talking two topics here. I'm talking ChatGPT and my teaching. I am back to teaching. I feel thrilled to be teaching again. It's just enriches my life, in ways it's just hard to explain. I have a purpose. And I was doing this online through Zoom, but to actually be back in class with the real people, and they look out for me, they help me get out of my car and carry my walker, and it's great. I am thrilled. It's just a step up, a lift, just a wonderful thing for me at this time in my life. You know, when you know your brain is phasing, your memory is a mess, and you're just not sharp like you maybe I never was, but you know what I mean. You know you're getting worse. But taking on a challenge of actually entertaining students for a two-hour period, and stimulating them and getting on. Well, I taught Wednesday. Today is Saturday. I taught Wednesday, and I gave probably one of the best classes I've ever given, opening with the line, "This too shall pass." That's what I put on the board. "This too shall pass." And then broke it down. Let's get rid of shall and put in will. Okay, what's it mean? And they got into it. We really, really got into it. The class ended with a handout I had given them called Be Here Now, and it was about the non-existence of the past and the future and how we live in those terms, but there is only now. And one of my students reposted it the next day on their talk site, whatever that is that we use where we share WhatsApp. And I was very happy to say, wow, I read it again today and it means something to me. And that's where I'm at in my life right now, trying to pull back into the present. This moment now that you're hearing, that I'm sharing, that I've always been trying to do on the Teaching Change podcast, but I have a clearer understanding now than I used to. I don't mind saying that. I don't mind saying that. So anyway, it was a great lesson. And in the middle of the course, I taught the War of 1812 and a song by Avril Lavigne, Complicated. And they love that. I play the song on my little Bluetooth speaker. We analyze the lyrics. They all loved it. Great. So I gave a lesson I loved. I feel happy about it. I just want to share that with you now. It's great to be back teaching again. Wow. There's a purpose in my life. So I'm thinking, I'm sitting here in my car. I've only got 4 CDs in the car, and you've heard some Johnny Horton already, and that's American. They aren't going to get that. I'm only doing Canadian stuff. I thought, well, I got a Leonard Cohen CD here, Various Positions. How about Dance Me to the End of Love? Now, I've never known. Cohen is sometimes, other than the song Suzanne, which I understand, a lot of stuff I don't really get at the level Cohen intends the listener to get, you know? Smarter people than me can dig Cohen deeper than I can. But anyway, so what do? I play Dance Me to the End of Love. I hear the lyrics. They're beautiful. It's kind of a neat song. It's weird. But what's it all mean? Well, ChatGPT to the rescue. Ding, 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 ding. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. So I'm at the point now where I don't know if I want to play this song for my class. I want them to know. I need them to know. I'm doing Avril Lavigne and Alanis Morissette. I've done lots and lots of Canadian stuff and Blue Rodeo and Stompin' Tom and Gordon Lightfoot. It's all Canadian all the way for this class. That's, boy, that is my mandate more now than ever. But Leonard Cohen, how are we going to do that? So I did the song Suzanne, and you could break that down, and yeah, okay. But this one, what is Dance Me to the End of Love? The lyrics are kind of wild, you know, and there's this quartet. I mean, you can Google or chat GTP it on your own. But it was inspired by Cohen reading about the death camps, how the Nazis insisted they have a string quartet playing while they are marched off to the gas chambers and to their death and so on. And it was a song about beauty, how it's everlasting. I guess I don't want to, you know, read it all out to you. I can give you a little summary of what it means, but it's basically I'm tying everything together here, if you can bear with me, right? It's the summary. Love exists inside history's worst horrors. This is the ChatGPT's summary. It goes line by line, but this is the summary. Art and beauty persist under oppression. True love includes desire, devotion, loss, endurance, and death. Choosing love is an act of resistance. Wow. So the question that I'm going to deal with this week, is that song too heavy for my ESL class? They're all adult students. They've all been through, I mean, the majority are Chinese. They know what's going on in China. They're here now. We're careful about what we say and what we share, but is it just too heavy? Or do I need to? And part of me says, yeah, Ken, I think you need to share this with them. That's reality. And especially maybe now more than ever when you've got, you know, the right-wing movements across the world and the amount of hatred and so on that's spreading. So I'm going to end it with that. How am I going to end it? I'm going to put on the beginning of that song. I don't know if I can share with you. Boys and girls, this is Ken of the Day After. And I tried to get a few copies of that Leonard Cohen song, you know, attached to this podcast. And the more I thought about it, I can't share that. And I can't share it with my class. It's just too, that image of the musicians playing to those marching off to their death. It's real and horrific. And there's enough horror and ugliness in the world today that, my God, why would I want to pile that onto anybody else? So, a complete change of heart. I've been listening to music from Cultivate. This is the concert I was supposed to go to in the fall until I fell. And but they put out a stream of the music, the Spotify list, playlist, and I've just, that took me all the way through PEI Nova Scotia, and it's been with me ever since, and I'm playing the same songs over and over and over. I absolutely love them, and I thought, why don't, instead of all the big names, I mean, I'll share the big Canadian names, but why not, for a change, share somebody who they've never heard of, you've probably never heard of, everyone except Bob LeDrew, somebody called Alison McNamara. And she put out an album in April 2025. It's new, called Wake. And I'm haunted by her voice. It's absolutely beautiful. And I like the lyrics, they're simple, and I've decided I'm going to, along with Alanis Morissette and you know, other well-known Canadian musicians and singers who've made it big, share somebody local who would play it, you know, smaller venues, and but is still wanting to be, you know, who is an artist and would like to make their living writing and singing their music. And that's something to aspire to, and it's something to share. So here you are. This is a song called Let Me Be Me, and it's by Allison McNamara. So please enjoy, and I'll be back who knows when, but I just might get back into the swing of sharing some time with you. Scarborough Dude, a.k.a. Ken. And once again, hats off, thanks to Sylvain, who, and if you see a picture with this podcast, that's the one Sylvain sent me. Bye for now.
I'm not lost, I'm just around, kicking up the dust when it lands on the ground. And if you're asking what I see, I could see better if you'd only let me be me. I will not be complacent, not play along, but I will not try to tell you that you're wrong. I will not say the phrases everyone wants me to. Maybe I just don't want